just like Michael Pineda and Rick Porcello and Christian Yelich, I am back.
Ah, I was wondering where you're going there.
Yeah, they're all very different, but they're all back. You know, today Pineda and Porcello, yesterday Christian Yelich, and I'm Adam Azer with Chris Towers and Scott White. Thank you so much to Chris Towers for filling in for me while I took a mini vacay.
Thank you for coming back.
I got to call it a vacay since it was abbreviated. You know?
You didn't get the shun in there?
No, I didn't. No, 3 more days would have made it a shun. But anyway, email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Now is the time to send us your emails. We'll do our best to help you win your leagues over the next 6 weeks. The playoffs are underway in the podcast league. I'm sure they're underway for many of you as well. Today on the show, interesting stat on Kyle Schwarber, who keeps on homering, but that's all he's doing. Miguel Montero's homered in 3 straight games. Ketel Marte, I know you talked about him yesterday, but needs to be brought up again. We had 3 players in the 2 home run club.
Were you listening to our podcast while you were on your vacay?
Not the Monday one. But yes, the Friday and Tuesday one.
The truth comes out.
I listen
to... He only listens to 66% of our podcasts when he's not here.
I had a decent drive yesterday, so I was able to listen to a couple of podcasts, football and baseball. Okay. I have a nomination. Let's get your thoughts here. Most under-owned player in fantasy, Denard Span, 62% owned.
Yeah, that's a decent call. I've got some cases to make for a couple other guys, though.
Hit me with it.
Francisco Lindor.
More owned 70%. Than Denard Span.
More owned, yes, but he's also, surprisingly, I think we looked it up yesterday during the show, he is the number 3 shortstop since July 1st.
Oh, I know you love BABIP. He's got a 4... Oh, is that him I'm thinking of?
343 BABIP.
Okay,
it's
no.
It's high, but it's not so high.
I was thinking of Ketel Marte, who has like a 474 BABIP in his hot stretch. But yeah, all right, Lindor, go for it.
And I still think Jung-Ho Kang is way under-owned.
What's his ownership?
I think he's at like 77 still. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's the number 1 shortstop since July 1st.
I don't know if that might be a situation where... If there have been enough dropouts that he slips through.
He's 82 now.
I mean, how are you talking these 60 and 70% guys when Ketel Marte himself is only 10% owned?
Because there was another guy. I didn't want to take your guy, though.
Who?
Your guy. The guy you wanted to say.
Derek Dietrich?
Yeah.
Well, I had been saying Derek Dietrich, who himself is around 10% owned, I think. Can find the exact number. 16. But Christian Yelich returned yesterday. He played left field, which was the position Dietrich was playing, and Dietrich was out of the lineup. So, I mean, obviously he's capable of playing things other than left field. Yelich was playing center before going on the DL.
But Ozuna's back.
Yeah. I mean, they could always send him down again. I don't know if they will.
They might.
Dietrich could play second or third, but obviously... Gordon's at second. I don't know how attached they are to Prado.
Yeah,
at third.
He might not be worth that owning worth going out and adding again.
That's it may be over. The dream may be over. The ghost of Tino Martinez looms large, and it makes Dietrich the most underappreciated player by his own organization, and therefore... Maybe not a viable fantasy option anymore. So I'm going Ketel Marte as my most under-owned player, 10%.
All right, would you rather have Marte or Lindor?
I would rather have maybe Lindor in a points league, but definitely Marte and Roto. Lindor is kind of...
I think I'd rather have Marte in a points league. He's walking... He's getting on base.
He has 7 doubles, Marte, in his last 15 games. That's when he has the 477 BABIP, but a 404 batting average. So they'll both come down a little bit. Marte's leading off. Lindor's usually batting second. Lindor's been great since the All-Star break. 362 batting average for Lindor with 5 home runs.
Unexpected power.
Well, that's the thing. Unexpected, but there's like he didn't do anything like this in the minors, right?
Yeah. With Marte, you have to take into account the fact that he didn't walk in the minors either. And that's been a big part of his success so far. So They're both doing unsustainable things. I'd rather have Lindor.
Well, I thought you just said before you'd rather have Marte.
No, I said rather. No, I said I'd rather have Marte in a points league, perhaps. Overall. I thought you had the backwards.
You well, said I mean, Marte's a base dealer, and Lindor isn't, or at least he hasn't looked like one in the majors. So that's why. And I feel like Marte's. They're both pretty good bet to hit for a high batting average, I guess. Well, but I feel like that's. I don't know how much to trust the power for Lindor. He's young enough, and you know, you heard when you read the scouting reports on him. They're like, maybe there's a chance he develops power someday. So you know, the first time he gets a chance in the majors, that kind of surprising. But I don't think it's completely unthinkable. He did have an 11 homer season in the minors last year.
A couple things here. I wanted to read the quote of the day. It's about Ketel Marte, and it's from Lloyd McClendon. And he said, quote, he's a young player. He's still got to get his man muscles, but he's played well.
Did he really say that?
I swear.
Man, it's man muscles is the thing.
It's so Did he really say that?
Yes, is in the AP recap. It's what he said about Marte.
Man muscles.
I'm hoping that's just Lloyd McClendon being really self-aware and self-referential and meta.
Maybe.
Rather than that just being like some kind of weird tic that he's got.
Other thing, the reason why I nominated Span at 62% is, I mean, Dietrich and Lindor and Marte, they're hot now. But I trust Span, granted he's playing outfield, to
trust
be...
Trust is an interesting term with Span.
Well, okay, it's going to take a little while because Span's not going to be an everyday player at the start. He's coming back from the back injury. Back, right? Yeah, back.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, back. It stemmed from the core surgery he had prior to the season, but yeah, it was his back.
But that guy was pretty much must start. They're all underowned. I don't care who the most underowned is, although I don't know, Lindor's at 72%, so it's hard to call him underowned. But I just think that Span needs to be owned. I was surprised only 62% owned for a guy who, especially in points leagues, top 25, in Roto, top 32, while he was healthy, and that was playing hurt. So that's my take.
Yeah, and if you do his points per game, because he missed a big chunk of the season, he was early on. Points per game, he was ahead of Ryan Braun when he went down. I haven't checked where they compare to each other now, but he was like top 10 material on a per game basis. So I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't really know how much I can get out of him since this back thing keeps flaring up and. Like you said, it's not clear he's going to play every day right away.
So as of now, would you drop Melky Cabrera for Denard Span?
I don't think I would.
I might. I think I would, yeah.
Would you rather have Christian Yelich or Denard Span?
Definitely Span.
I'd rather have Yelich.
Oh, come on. What has he done?
He's been good since, like, I think since coming back from that first DL stint, he's been pretty good.
Pretty good.
Except when he was on the DL. Yeah.
Well, sure, it's not like Donald Span's been a model of health in 2015.
Yelich hasn't played much since, you know, till yesterday.
Yeah. I feel like Yelich's lack of power... I don't know.
Span is going to be... When he's healthy, he's going to be leading off for a lineup that's clicking...
All right. Well, what did you expect from Christian Yelich this season?
I expected
high-ish batting average, 12 homers, 25 steals.
You know,
280, 290 batting average.
I thought where we were drafting him depended on him taking a step forward power-wise, and he clearly hasn't done that. If anything, he's taken a step back in terms of plate discipline and stolen bases. Maybe he's about on the same pace.
Last 80 games. 289 batting average, 6 home runs, 13 stolen bases.
Ugh.
If he had 290 with 12 steals and 25 steals and 12 homers, we would have been pleased.
No,
right?
12 home runs for an outfielder? Come on.
What did you, like, this thing where we expect Christian Yelich to hit for power is ridiculous. This guy is never going to hit for power.
Even if
we
he gave you 15, that'd be better than 12.
Why was he such a highly regarded prospect? Because he's never going to hit for power. Like, dude's we got a 60, misled.
Dude's got a 60% ground ball percentage.
I think it's, I think a 23, saying a 23 year old's never going to hit for power is going a bit far.
Maybe he can hit a lot of inside the park home runs.
You know, like, it probably
ground balls don't go over the fence. This is like, this is just a basic physics thing.
Okay, but why does he have to hit that many ground balls forever?
I don't know. We're talking about
players
three
change.
Full years
get
now.
Better.
We're talking about three
he's
full years.
He's 23 years old. Like, okay, a lot of players aren't even in the majors yet at that point.
He will
point.
Magically start hitting more fly balls.
It's not magic. It's development.
Okay.
All right. Break it up. Trivia question for you. Who is the number two outfielder in points leagues, the number one outfielder in Roto?
AJ Pollock.
Jeez, dude. Like, come on.
What?
You're not supposed to get it right that quickly.
He comes out as number one in the Roto formula?
Yes,
yeah,
he
he's the number four player in Roto this season.
He's
the number four player.
There's no way I would take AJ Pollock. I mean, Pollock's great, don't get me wrong. But there's no way I'd take him over Bryce Harper or Mike Trout. That's that just reveals the flaws in the Roto formula.
No, not necessarily. It doesn't mean that you'd have to take them over him, but... Look, he's better than Trout in points too, Scott. So there's something to be said here. He's
okay.
Only worse
than
Harper.
I mean, Trout's been
slumping points.
Since the All-Star break, so I could see how that could happen.
The big thing is he's a batting title contender this season. He's hitting .324, leads the National League in runs scored, and he's gonna have a 16 homer, 40 steal season.
So, but there's no way you can say, oh yeah, AJ Pollock's had a better season than Bryce Harper. Like, with a straight face. You can't say that. That's...
He has 28 more steals than him, so that's pretty significant.
Yeah, but how many more home runs does Bryce Harper have than Pollock?
18.
Like, 18
yeah,
more.
That's significant, too.
Oh, look, I mean, they're very close. Pollock is the number five hitter, and Cruz is sixth, and Harper is seventh in Roto. Maybe... I think Roto might overrate steals a little bit.
Yeah, it's...
But also the batting, well, Harper's batting .329 actually has a better batting average.
Yeah, it's, Pollock's not a better player than Bryce Harper. But.
Is he a better fantasy player?
No. Like, moving forward, you would bet on Bryce Harper. Any sane person would bet on Bryce Harper over AJ Pollock.
Yeah,
but.
I'm just saying, like, even if it shows he's number one, I don't really feel like he's been the best, even to date. I mean, he's been good.
But I know you trust the points formula a lot better, a lot more than the Roto formula,
yeah.
and he's number two. So, you know, it's Harper has 469 points, and Pollock has 443, just ahead of Mike Trout.
Which is a smaller gap than I would have
He's having figured. An awesome season. I don't think he's missed a game yet.
But he's definitely sat, because remember they were...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he wasn't... They weren't going him every day in the start of the year. But,
yeah, he's set out six games, which is ridiculous. But that's a really good offense. He's getting a lot of plate appearances. That's a big thing also.
Yeah, runs scored.
We don't think
him.
About them, but they're... We don't talk about them as one of the better offenses in baseball, but they've been very good this season.
I feel like people are going to listen to this and be like, oh, that's Scott White. He doesn't respect AJ Pollock. He's a hater.
Scott White eviscerates AJ Pollock.
I mean, AJ Pollock is exactly the kind of player I love in fantasy because he dominates peripherally and slips through the cracks and ends up scoring a lot more points than people think. But it's still ridiculous to say he's better than Bryce Harper.
I just want to check. I know he leads outfielders in runs scored.
Yep. Donaldson. He leads the National League in runs scored.
Donaldson is one, and Pollock is two in runs scored. So that helps as well. Not sure that's going to happen again next year, but that helps. All right, name that slash line. Chris, I know you already know this one. You bragged before the show started, so don't ruin another awesome thing. Name that slash line for a player who's 99% owned and 72% started. It's not that hard, actually, but since May 1st, 241, 281 on base, 371 slugging, just a 652 OPS for this guy who is universally owned. Scott? Since May 1st, by the way.
Since May 1st.
And he's three for his last 27.
Carlos Gomez.
No, that's not a bad guess, but it is Hanley Ramirez.
Okay.
I wanted to give him one hint and say that he was going to be the number 24 ranked first baseman next season.
Right, so they're going to play Hanley at first base next year, maybe a little bit this year, but... Yesterday, Rusne Castillo sat, Jackie Bradley Jr. played, and until they're willing to bench their worst outfielder, Hanley Ramirez, could be a little frustrating for the Rusne Bradley owners.
Hanley Ramirez isn't going to be a very high draft pick next year.
He could be a nice bounce back
eligibility.
Player.
What was that?
Could be a nice bounce back player.
Yeah, maybe a sleeper.
Could be. I mean, look, if he's going to go in like the 18th round.
I mean, being only outfield and first base eligible, like, what's his upside? Top 30, maybe top 25?
At the position? Oh, at outfield, you mean?
And in outfield, yeah.
I don't know that he's done being a really good hitter.
He hasn't been
streaky.
A really good hitter. I mean, apart from that one.
Okay, where was Matt Kemp being drafted this year?
Third round, I think.
So top 10 outfielder?
Top 10, top 12, yeah, around there.
Why couldn't Hanley Ramirez be Matt Kemp?
Because he isn't Matt Kemp.
Why not?
Well, look what Matt Kemp did the final 4 months of last year. He hit 303 with a 900-something OPS.
Hanley Ramirez in 2013 and 2014. 308 batting average, 907 OPS. He's 1 year removed. He's been really bad this season, but
he had one like fluke year with the Dodgers where he did like he did, you know, when he was 25 years old.
Yeah, he was the best hitter in baseball that year.
I mean, you look going back to 2011, so the last 5 years, he's a 272 hitter with a 799 OPS. I mean, what's the aberration in there? That 1 year you're talking about.
All right. Well, we can worry about that next year. Here we go. Let's go through the rest of Wednesday's stuff. I hope you didn't answer these questions on Monday or Tuesday's show. I might have missed them. Is Gene Machi Boston's closer?
He might be. I'm of the opinion that it might not matter. They haven't had a lot of save opportunities in general. I think Tozawa actually got a save on Sunday or Saturday. So no, I would say no. I don't think he's that for sure.
Is Tom Wilhelmson Seattle's closer?
It looks like they're giving him the shot. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been good enough this year that you can count on him to remain the closer. But for now, he is.
He's 10% owned. For as much as we've talked about Rodney and Smith and now Wilhelmson, it seems like they do get save opportunities. Would you prioritize Wilhelmson over anyone in Boston?
Yes.
How
droppable? I'd rather have Tozawa, actually. I just think he's a better pitcher.
Okay. How droppable is Chuck Peterson? Four straight games on the bench. Two against righties, two against lefties.
I think this time of year, I don't know that if he was dropped, I'd automatically pick him up in a three outfielder league. In a five outfielder league, it seems kind of crazy still, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he has 5 hits in August.
Oy.
Somehow he still has a 705 OPS. That's amazing. He has a 122 average and a 413 on-base percentage in August.
So I
but
would drop.
It's been more than just a bad month. I mean, normally we wouldn't make much of just a month.
Chris, you know. Chris.
Sorry.
Come on with the Diet Coke.
No, it's coffee today.
Right.
I'm doing what everybody wants. It's supposed to fix all my issues. Your magic elixir.
I would drop Jock Peterson for Denard Span. Would you?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't be starting either right now.
I'm much, much closer to starting Denard Span than Jock Peterson.
I don't think you can start Jock Peterson at all.
Hector Olivera needs more time in the minors to sharpen his skills, according to Freddy Gonzalez.
Ho-ho.
Giancarlo Stanton expects to be back in about 10 days. Max Scherzer having today's start pushed back to Friday so he can match up with the Mets and Cardinals. Carlos Carrasco's on the DL with shoulder inflammation. That stinks. And Cody Anderson will replace Carrasco in the Indians' rotation. Apparently, if Julio Urias gets called up by the Dodgers, their starting pitcher, it won't be during the first week of September. That's according to Don Mattingly. Gross injury, Rougned Odor, or autocorrect from my phone, Routines Odor, had his fingernail fall off last night.
Oof.
So he's day-to-day. Yasmani Grandal, his shoulder's bothering him, and he's going to sit today, and it's affecting his swing, according to Mattingly. Carlos Gonzalez available to pinch hit yesterday. He's day-to-day. Greg Holland should be available today. Aaron Hicks could be back in early September. Couple of Rays injuries. Kurt Casale left with a hamstring injury and Desmond Jennings a knee injury. D. Gordon stole four bases yesterday. How about that? He's fast.
He refuses to go away.
Yeah, he's fast. Addison Russell's missed two straight games with a groin injury. Yesterday it was LaStella and Castro in the infield for the Cubs. And, oh my goodness, Don Orsillo, probably my favorite play-by-play man in baseball, other than Dan Schulman, was fired by Nesson yesterday, or by the Red Sox. I don't know who fired him. But that is a shame. Hopefully your local broadcast team will hire Don Orsillo and he can broadcast your team's home games. But they are hiring Dave O'Brien, who's also great, to replace him. But that bothered me.
If I can backtrack for a minute, you mean to tell me there's a chance Julio Urias could get called up in September?
He can't buy alcohol legally in the United States for another 2 years.
That would be, I mean, I'm, you know, it's between him and Lucas Giolito, who's the best pitching prospect long term. But yeah, he would be the first teenage starting pitcher, I think, since Felix Hernandez almost 10 years ago.
Cool.
He just turned 19 14 days ago.
You want to get into some standouts from yesterday?
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
No.
Who stood out to you?
To me?
To anyone.
Me. Jed Jerko stood out to me.
Two homer club.
Woo. Two homer domers. But maybe the most significant observation from that isn't the two home runs, but the fact he started at shortstop for the third time and has now played four games there total. So he's on the verge of gaining eligibility at the position where we could never have enough people.
All right.
Having eligibility.
Ketel Marte or Jed Jerko?
Well, I mean, they do very different things. So in a roto league, it depends probably what you need. If we're, you know, all stats being equal, I trust Marte more. But Jed Jerko, since returning in 45 games, 262, 8 home runs, and 164 at bats. So.
I feel like that's been so deceiving, though, don't you? Because I feel if we did this exercise yesterday, before the two-homer game, I also think he might have had multiple two-homer games. I don't know what to make of stuff like that. You know, he's usually pretty bad, and then he has
peripherally
a game like that.
He's still pretty bad. Yeah, I mean he's not a great points league option. You know, even if he's a 20-homer guy, but
power's power.
Infielder who hits 20 home runs, those are not common.
Sure, I see your point. All right, anyone else? Anyone else?
You know, Evan Gattis has been a disappointment this season. He went 2-for-4 with 4 RBI and 3 runs scored yesterday. He's got 2 multi-hit games in a row. I think it's fair to say he's been a disappointment this season, right?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Second in points among catchers.
Points, too. That's not even really his format.
Is he really?
Second, he just passed Stephen Vogt and Brian McCann. He's right there. Like, he could fall to number 4 tomorrow. But he's number 2 right now.
His April was so miserable, too. Like, it makes his overall numbers look worse. Not that he's been as good as we hoped he was even since then. 255 with a 770 OPS, 18 home runs and 376 at bats. But that's at least closer to the Gattis we saw in Atlanta.
That, you know, we were projecting him for a 30 homer season.
Yeah,
that's a 30 homer pace.
18
home
and
runs, 30, over 176
at bats.
Yeah. That's a home run every
it's
5
close.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's annoying? My what? Podcast league team had a huge night yesterday. Brantley, Gomez, Gattis. You know where we did it? Out of the playoffs. In no man's land. Really stupid. I hate that.
Yeah.
I'd be killing all of you podcast leaguers.
I also, I have to ask, now that he's getting strikeouts, 9 more yesterday in, what, 7 shutout innings against the Yankees, who have been pretty miserable on offense lately.
Yes.
Where does Dallas Keuchel rank? How high can we go with this?
Well, where does he rank on the year? Or how high should we rank him?
How high should we rank him? He's got 51 strikeouts and 48 and a third innings since the All-Star break. That was the only knock against him as a top-tier elite starting pitcher.
Well, Scott talked about the top three yesterday, and then I think you said DeGrom and Kluber are
yeah.
in contention to be number four.
But I don't remember you mentioning him yeah. as yeah. that next tier.
He's still outside. He's kind of like Zach Greinke to me, who I think those two are number one and two, actually, so far this year. But I feel like the guys who get more than a strikeout per inning, who, you know, you can trust to go 220 innings or so, I would still rather have them than the guys who get 8 to 8.5 strikeouts per nine. I trust the dominance factor more with the guys who.
If I told you he was yeah. a strikeout per nine guy next season, like if I could guarantee you Dallas Keuchel will strike out exactly one batter in each inning he pitches next season, where would you rank him? He's got a 2.28 ERA on the season.
I mean,
the highest ground ball rate in the baseball.
It's not great just control. That
he doesn't.
It's
he doesn't.
Like, How long has Madison Bumgarner done what he does versus how long Keuchel has done this? You know?
Well,
like, I just
also,
think there's good reason to put more of your trust in somebody like Bumgarner. There's no way Bumgarner can do you wrong.
And Price.
And
forgot
Price,
about him.
Exactly.
And another guy who pitched yesterday, who I was screaming in my car when I was listening to the podcast. I was like, I know you're not going to do it because of the injury history. Steven Strasburg. He is awesome.
I'll take Keuchel over Strasburg.
Just not because of health?
I agree. Strasburg is awesome and seems to be back, but he has his own issues that makes him less than completely locked down.
Yeah, I look at Bumgarner. I'm looking at his career. He's had one season that was better than Keuchel's last season.
Last season?
In terms of ERA.
Oh, okay. ERA.
And he's never had a season as good as this one. Never.
Keuchel's having a great season. But the point is, like, even if you take Bumgarner next year instead of Keuchel, and Keuchel's better than Bumgarner, that's not going to be the reason you lose. I mean, Bumgarner's still going to pitch like an ace, you know? Like that.
All right. Well, would you?
I would more than anything with an early round pick, whether it's a pitcher or otherwise, I just don't want him to pull the rug out from under me. And I think Bumgarner, you can trust that's not going to happen a little more than Keuchel.
Here's one for you. Next year, would you rather have Dallas Keuchel or Felix Hernandez?
I'm going to say Felix for now, but if he doesn't get his act together before the end of the season, obviously.
He's going to dinner without supper.
That's right.
Wait, dinner without supper? Or bed without supper?
Bed without supper.
Yeah.
Dinner
without dessert?
Hey.
It's okay.
It's early. I haven't had my Diet Coke yet.
I got a standout for you, Kyle Schwarber. Last 11 games, he has 5 hits and 39 at-bats, but 4 of them are homers. Are you concerned there might be a big slump coming up?
Of course. You know, I think we talked about this on Friday. Just the fact that anybody who has a 34% strikeout rate or whatever, it might be up to 35%, you have to be concerned about that kind of slump inevitably happening, just like it happened with Jock Peterson and just like it happened with Chris Bryant. And those guys, you know, those are the two other paths. Jock Peterson never pulled out of the slump. Chris Bryant very much has. And that's why of the rookies, I think Carlos Correa is the best of them, just because he doesn't have that one massive glaring flaw.
Miguel Montero is 44% owned. He has homered in 3 straight games. How about that?
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have Montero or Wellington Castillo?
Kind of similar guys, right? Montero's on like a 25 homer pace for a full season.
I think the walk rate is what the main thing that distinguishes them. So on points, I'd definitely take Montero. Roto, I could go either way. Probably Castillo.
How about Francisco Cervelli or Miguel Montero?
Montero.
Any other standouts from you guys?
I think since we talked about him yesterday and he had a huge game, Jonathan Lucroy is probably worth bringing up again.
Yeah,
2 homer club.
There you go.
Yeah, I feel like maybe, you know, we all chimed in a little on him, but I think maybe I didn't bring up the point that I feel like he's going to be okay in the long run. I feel like he's going to bounce back from this because he's still, his strikeout rate is still so incredibly low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little higher than in years past, but when a player's slumping, you kind of expect that. I do think it's just a slump. And last nine games, he's batting .375 with three home runs. And it's obviously just nine games, but that could be the start of the turnaround. And actually, if you go back a little further, you go back to the All-Star break, he has a .780 OPS, so it's not like he's been bad.
Although three home runs in two games will have that impact.
Sure. Sure.
Well, it's funny you mention Luke Roy, because he is my FanDuel catcher today.
All right.
And FanDuel, you know, your season might be over, but FanDuel, like my team in the podcast league, pathetic. My FanDuel team, new one every single day. It doesn't matter how bad they've been. I get to pick a new one, and, you know, usually they're pretty good.
They're bad, right?
Yeah, sometimes they're bad, but that's fine, because the next day we start anew. You can start for just $1. We want you to go there and sign up with our offer code CBSPOD, and if you do that, for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel's going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's for new users. Use that offer code CBSPOD. You don't have to wait another however many months, until April of next year to start playing again. Start playing today, start playing tomorrow, as often as you'd like. And you can play in more than one tournament or 50-50 or any type of contest every day. Go to FanDuel.com, play one day fantasy baseball on the best DFS site that you can find. You'll love it. Go to FanDuel.
Can I point out one more thing?
Oh, I don't know, Chris. This sounds...
I'm doing it.
All right, fine.
I don't need your permission. I'm high on the hosting fumes. remember when Albert Pujols was back?
Okay.
He had like a 900 OPS for the season.
He was
hitting homers left and right. He was back. He was Albert Pujols again.
Mm-hmm.
He has an 816 OPS for the season. He has three extra base hits or three multi-hit games in the month of August. He's still homering. He homered last night. But since July 1st, 233, 698 OPS, 10 homers in 45 games. I really hope you sold high on Albert Pujols.
He could still have a strong finish. I mean, he wouldn't be the first player to have a bad two-month stretch.
No.
And 10 home runs in a two-month stretch isn't even like a disaster.
No, that's fine. He's done absolutely nothing else.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. The boys are back in town. Here are some boys who are back in town. We talked Yelich. We talked Span. Steve Pierce is back. Started against a lefty. Went 2-for-3. 13% owned. Anyone want Steve Pierce?
No.
Mark Teixeira is back, but he can't run. I'm a little concerned about his health.
Yeah.
You know, they might be rushing him back a little bit.
I hope you sold high on him.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like, I was telling people to sell high on him all season, and then when I was finally like, well, I guess you kind of have to stick with them.
I kind of look at them, him and Pujols, kind of like that's what I was thinking with him and Pujols, is they're both kind of the same guy now. Pujols won't walk as much, but they're both low BABIP, high power guys. Pujols is just like a less injury-prone version of Mark Teixeira now.
I guess, I mean, the biggest difference is Pujols was actually good last year still, while Teixeira had been... It had been on several years since we saw him do this kind of stuff.
Rick Porcello and Michael Pineda are scheduled to make starts today. What are your expectations for Pineda rest of season?
I think he'll be... I don't know. I think he'll be who he was, which is, I guess, a little underwhelming at times, but still somebody you're going to be happy to start more often than not.
Probably not today. I think there's going to be a pitch limit.
Yeah.
So might want to step back on that one. That's a day.
Yeah. Just with his history of Tommy John, that's my biggest concern. I think I've been a big Michael Pineda booster this season. I think he can be very good, but I'm concerned about forearm injury.
Wait, did he have Tommy John? He had a shoulder issue.
I thought he had Tommy John right before the trade.
I think it was all shoulder stuff.
Okay.
I think.
Which is worse? Than Tommy John.
Yeah, it's worse. That's why he was gone for so long.
Yeah, no, he never had Tommy John surgery. Sorry about that, guys.
All right, no problem.
Just edit that out.
All right, let's see. What could we get to here? Talked about a lot of the stuff I had in the notes, but let me give you a couple of stats of the day. Stat of the day number one, Robinson Cano became the sixth player to hit 30 doubles in 11 straight seasons.
Whoa.
How about that?
Yeah.
Must-start guy, Cano. He started in 98% of leagues.
Yeah, I think so.
Stat of the day number two, Shelby Miller. All right, it's going to end today. It's my prediction. He does not have a win since May 17th, despite a 3.11 ERA. He's 0-9 with a 3.11 ERA, Shelby Miller, facing the Rockies today. It ends today.
Yeah, I think he's like, it's something like in, it's like an 18-start stretch or 19 starts, and like 15 of them he's allowed three or fewer earned runs.
Unbelievable. Email of the day is from James. Is it crazy to drop Victor Martinez for Mark Canha or Travis Shaw in a deep league? Victor Martinez, drop him for Mark Canha or Travis Shaw in a deep league.
No. Like, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters much who you're picking up, but 591 OPS in August.
Well, what is with you in the August stat? Like, when did August become the most revealing month of the season?
Okay. 671 OPS overall.
Yeah, I guess.
What's with you in 2014?
What's the OPS to see return from the DL?
Well,
he still can't hit righties.
Look, when he came back from the DL, he was hitting pretty well. And then the calendar flipped to August, basically. And I don't know if he's still hurt.
715.
I think it's a little crazy. I mean, Shaw's a fine fill-in. Canha's not quite as fine of a fill-in, but yeah, there's a good chance somebody else picks up Martinez and he's the reason you lose in September. You just can't drop a guy that high end.
I'm with you, Scott. If it were better options, especially Canha. I mean, there's no way I'm dropping it for Canha.
Who's been hot, but yeah, I mean, he's not going to be hot forever, and there's not much for him to fall back on since.
All right, Trace Thompson, 2% owned. Pretty much only hits against lefties, but he's batting .522. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clay's brother. Anyone interested in Trace Thompson?
He's 12 for 23 so far. That batting average stands out, 520 something.
522.
Seems sustainable.
Yeah, no, if he's the lesser half of a platoon, I'm not interested.
Ben Paulson, 23% owned. This was really disappointing. It seemed like made so much sense. You know, he can hit righties well. He hits well at home. He's been terrible since we told everyone to pick him up. 7 for 44 in his last 14 games. Giving up on Ben Paulson, is he droppable?
He's not playing regularly either, so yeah, I'm giving up on him.
Freddie Freeman. Would you be sitting Freddie Freeman right now? He is 5 for 27 with one extra base hit since coming off a DL.
I don't think he's a must start, but that's not necessarily the reason I'm sitting him either.
Would you be sitting him for Travis Shaw or Mark Canha?
I think about Shaw depending on the matchups, but I'd lean towards starting Freeman.
Yeah.
In your rotation, James Shields. Okay, I was shocked to see that James Shields is the number 25 starting pitcher in points leagues this year with a 3.89 ERA, but he's number 40 in starting pitcher, not overall pitcher, in Roto. He's got a 1.32 whip, that James Shields. Do you consider Shields a must-start?
I kind of feel like it's time to... might be a little short of that. It's been a really disappointing season, actually, apart from the strikeout rate. The main thing that you could count on Shields for was a ridiculous number of innings. It's why he finished so much higher in points leagues every year than his peripherals suggested he should. But he, with the Padres this year, he's had only 7 starts of 7 innings all year, and 8 of his last 9 have been less than 7. He's a guy you used to count for 7 or 8 every single time.
And on pace for his lowest inning total since 2010.
Yeah.
Would you rather
still get to 200 easily.
Yeah.
Would you rather own Jaime Garcia or Alex Wood?
Jaime Garcia, by a lot.
They're owned in about the same amount of leagues, right around 91%.
And finally, Jaime Garcia's ownership has climbed.
Yeah, I can't believe I dropped him. I just so mad at myself in a competitive league. Scott picked him up.
He's what Dallas Keuchel was last year.
But
is that the
reason
I'm in the playoffs in the podcast league and you're not?
No, I'm talking about the Memorial Roto League where you and I are having an epic slugfest. We have such good hitters. It's unbelievable. Every single day you have Sano and Schwarber and McCutcheon. I don't want to know who else you have because I don't want to root against like 30 people. I have Encarnacion, Correa, gosh, who's been killing it for me lately? I don't know. You and I are number one and two in home runs, and I don't even think it's close. It's like total slugfest every day. But my pitching sucks. So anyway, fringy starting pitchers. It was a bad, bad day for fringy starting pitchers. Do you like any of these guys going forward? Jared Weaver, Nathan Carnes, who has not thrown more than 86 pitches in his last 7 starts. Irvin Santana, who's just awful. Danny Duffy, Josh Tomlin, gave up 3 home runs, had a decent start. And Brad Hand, who's been really good 3 out of 4. Weaver, Carnes, Santana, Duffy, Tomlin, Hand. What do you think?
Tomlin has given up 5 home runs in, what, 3 starts? He's given up 6 runs total, 7 runs total. 5 of them have come off home runs.
Well, 3 were yesterday.
And
well, still.
I think 3 were in his first 2 starts as well.
This is what he's going to do. Yesterday he allowed 5 base runners in 6 innings, but also 4 earned runs. And like, his whip and ERA are going to be so far apart.
Yeah.
It's okay. Crazy.
There's also a great article on FanGraphs about a home run that Eddie Rosario hit in his last start off of Tomlin that was 4 feet off the ground and a foot off the plate. Inside.
So what are you trying to
Tomlin
say?
Tomlin gives up home runs.
I don't think any of these guys have much appeal.
No.
Carnes would be my favorite if not for the limitations you referred to, Adam. I mean, he's about a strikeout per inning. But.
And not only that, Scott, but I worry about Drew Smyly. Just seeing how they've treated Carnes and Erasmo Ramirez, Smyly with a torn rotator cuff, I wonder if he's ever going to go more than 6 innings.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would put Smyly in about the same class as the other two I was going to mention, Santana and Weaver, who I think they're going to have times even the rest of this season where they look like you can trust them. They're going to have starts where they go 7 innings and allow an earned run or two. But there's a lot of downside every time out too. So it's, I don't consider any of them must own. I just think those guys are viable in mixed leagues.
It definitely seems to be like an organizational philosophy with the Rays this year beyond like Chris Archer and Odorizzi is to kind of protect their pitchers.
So, yes. I'm going to stop stuttering now and go to emails. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com is the email address. We'll do DFS in a second. Watch Daily Fantasy Live, by the way. Still airing 4 p.m. Eastern all year long. Talking football eventually.
Football now.
Some hoops.
Football now. All football, baby. Well, no, not all football. There's still some baseball. But
is it mostly football now?
It's a lot. I can't say mostly, but it's a lot of football. Yeah.
All right, because I've been
college
out of the loop.
Football.
Yep.
That's great. No, I mean there's a lot of stuff you can do if you play daily fantasy, not just baseball, obviously, not just football. Yep. And we'll cover it on Daily Fantasy Live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. From Miguel, says, "Dear Gammons, Rosenthal, and only." What? Where's Heyman, Miguel? What's up with that?
I like bow ties, so I'll be Rosenthal.
All right, I'll be only. Since he wrote a book about the Yankees and I read it. All right, Gammons. I'm playing in a head-to-head.
Scott's the elder statesman of the 3.
Yeah, there you go. I'm playing in a head-to-head 8-team category keeper league where we can keep 9 guys for 4 years. Okay. I'm in 5th place. I'm a game out of a playoff spot. I have both Alex Rodriguez and Gardner on my team. They're slumping. Would you suggest dropping either of them to pick up Gerardo Parra, Delino DeShields, Derek Dietrich, David Peralta, or Melky Cabrera?
I don't think you can drop either one of those guys for anybody mentioned, even with Alex Rodriguez going really cold lately.
Oh,
I agree.
Man.
They're,
I don't know. That's
putting too much emphasis on August.
Yeah, but see, with A-Rod, like it doesn't surprise me. You know, we were kind of waiting for this.
But at the same time, if he bounces back with an 8 or 9 home run September, would that surprise you?
A little bit. at this point. I don't know. Also, they have three games coming up at the Braves that he's going to be sitting, for what that's worth. That's this week. And they have three games at the Mets he'll be sitting. That's really probably not a huge deal.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not excited about starting him right now, but it's just it's too dangerous to drop him.
All right. Dan from Brooklyn says, hey, Chase, Ryan, and Jimmy. Oh, I was like, who the heck is Ryan? Yeah, now I know who that is. I pulled off a deadline trade. I sent Chris Bryant to a ninth-place team for Adam Jones. I'm in second. I'm pushing for first.
Okay.
This is a keeper league. So he gave up Chris Bryant for Adam Jones. Bryant is a $16 keeper, and he already has Machado for $19. So he figured, all right, I'll just give up Bryant and get Adam Jones for this year. Grade the trade.
I'm going to give it a... It's close to being dead even, but because of the keeper aspect, I'll actually give it a C-.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't think it's clear Jones is going to outperform Bryant the rest of the way. You can start Bryant in the outfield now, at least. So worry about the position clutter later.
Okay, the next email is from AJ, and he gives us a list of names. So for each name, why don't you answer in, like, you know, drop, must own, must start, something like that. All right?
Okay.
What do you predict rest of season from Rusne Castillo?
Can own, not must own.
Yeah. Fringy, but it'll be because of playing time.
Dexter Fowler.
Must own.
Yes.
Francisco Lindor.
Must own.
Fill in.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Don't own.
Same thing as Rosana Castillo, probably lower floor, lower upside.
Derek Dietrich.
Oh, wait and see. I'm going to guess at this point he'll be fringy.
Very relevant email here. Touched on a lot of the guys we already talked about.
Yeah.
Well, I am really excited to talk about FanDuel today, because I haven't done it in forever. So, have you guys set a lineup?
I have not.
Yeah.
Good. Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I set a lineup that feels like it's going to win a 50-50, but has very little chance of winning a tournament. So, I'll preface it with that. It doesn't feel like a very high upside lineup.
Which
but
of the four crazy high upside pitchers did
Archer.
You Archer? That's the one.
Yeah, really? You know, if you don't go Archer, well, Sale, you can't argue with Sale, although my one hesitancy, my one issue with Sale is that the last time I started him was against the Red Sox and they kicked his butt.
The Red Sox are
hitting so well right now.
Shockingly. I thought they would be bad against lefties this season. They're fourth in WOBA against lefties.
They have been really good against lefties, but Sale has 29 strikeouts in his last two games, and he's going head-to-head against Rick Porcello, so... I'm going Sale. I understand what you're saying, but I think I'd rather go Sale than Archer.
You know, if you don't go with one of the true aces, I think Verlander is a value at 8,000. I know there's downside, but that seems like the only cheaper tournament option that I'd consider.
You said he was a must start on Monday's podcast, I believe.
The only one I didn't hear. So
actually,
Sale,
Scott didn't say it.
Didn't I?
You weren't on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, I was on the original.
You're on the Lost podcast.
The Lost Files.
Sale, Archer, Price, and Cueto are the studs. And then you've got Gio, Lackey, Tyson Ross, Shelby Miller, and Justin Verlander. Like, he's too low. Like, he shouldn't be less than Gio Gonzalez, you know?
Away from Cueto tonight. I don't think you can touch him at 11-5. That just seems like too much against an Orioles team that's just pretty good.
Oh, there was a BVP that was so interesting that I wouldn't play this, but let's just see what happens. Elvis Andrews is 10 for 23 in his career against David Price. Only problem is he's still too expensive for being Elvis Andrews. He's 3,000. However, if you want to save money, Eric Ibar at $2,200, the cheapest you can get a hitter, is 10 for 29. Against Justin Verlander with two doubles. So he is in my lineup. And I figure Ibar must have accumulated a lot of that when Verlander was still, like, really good. So he might just be good against Verlander, and he's 2,200. I needed a 2,200 guy to make my lineup work, and I thought, might as well go for a guy who's batting over 300 against Verlander in his career with only two strikeouts.
One tournament pitcher I think is pretty good. The Indians are so hit or miss. They can go off for a big night, or they can be completely shut out. Jimmy Nelson has 9 straight starts with at least 11 FanDuel points.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's very good. Also, I love right-handed Dodgers versus David Holmberg. Righties have an OPS over 1,000 against him. I have Justin Turner in my lineup at only 3,000, and I have Yasiel Puig in my lineup at only 2,700. So I like those guys. Jason Kipnis at 3,100, even though he's going against Jimmy Nelson. Jason Kipnis should be more than 3,100. Cody Anderson is bad. So
also, I don't want it to be like, even though he's going against Jimmy Nelson, I don't think Jimmy Nelson's great. I don't think he's someone you avoid by any means.
Right, and he's been bad against lefties this year. And Kipnis
he's good. Lefties hit him hard.
Yeah. Right.
Righties, he dominates.
I like Lucroy at 2,800 against Cody Anderson.
Get some of those red hot Mets in there against Jared Eichhoff, who has a 414 career minor league OPS with 1.1 home run per 9. He was good in his first start, but only 6 swinging strikes, and it was the Marlins.
Pittsburgh's facing Chris Narvison. Marlins are starting Narvison. I don't know how long he's going to go. Could be Narvison in the bullpen.
Knopf.
Yeah. And Melky Cabrera is 12 for 22 in his career with 3 doubles and a home run against Rick Porcello. He's 3,300 bucks. So I have Puig, Polanco, and Melky in my outfield. I have Turner and Ibar and Kipnis and Lucroy in my infield with Chris Archer pitching. And then there's only one player that I can't stand, and that's Kendrys Morales at $2,800 at first base. I would like to try to find a way to get a better first baseman in there, but he's facing Wei-Yin Chen. He's hit or miss. It's not terrible, but first base, you could get so much production from. I hate to have a guy like Morales in there. So if you guys have any $2,800. So yeah. I'll be watching Daily Fantasy Live to get some good cheap options at another position, maybe. But I like the team. I think it's got potential.
What about Adam LaRoche against Rick Porcello at $2,600? You want to go real cheap at first base.
Huh? Okay.
LaRoche has been pretty good lately.
How cheap is he? 26?
$2,600.
Yeah. I'd rather have Morales, I think, for 28, but I see your point.
All right, fine. No, fine. You can have Kendrys Morales.
I'd like to upgrade it to, like, Adrian Gonzalez or something. I think he's 3,100. Facing Holmberg, who has been good against lefties, but still, I don't know if I trust that. Anything else, guys?
Nah,
not for me.
Join us in our contest, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Compete against us, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. It's only $2. You're going to compete against us. It's also incorporated with the video show, and I think it's $100 goes to the winner. Only 150 entries, so sign up now, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. It's Wednesday. We end things early. Thank you, Scott White and Chris Towers.
Thank you, Adam. It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice to have a real host back.
I truly missed it. I really did. Even though it was only 3 days of show that I missed being on it. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.